السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الذي هدى، والصلاه والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الانبياء وعلى اله واصحابه الذين اتبعوا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هل ننبئكم بالأخسرين أعمالا؟ الذين ضل سعيهم في الحياة الدنيا وهم يحسبون أنهم يحسنون صنعا. أولئك الذين كفروا بآيات ربهم ولقائه فحبطت أعمالهم فلا نقيم لهم يوم القيامة وزنا. ذلك جزاؤهم جهنم بما كفروا واتخذوا آياتي ورسلي هزوا. صدق الله العظيم.
We all realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us to this world for a purpose. And the purpose of sending us to this world is mainly the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have created the jinn and human beings just to worship me alone. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this universe for human beings to live in it with the presence of ibadah. So we are supposed to live in this world to do the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This universe is created for ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that the ibadah of Allah gets established in this world. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. He is the one who created everything in this world for you. And he created you for the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which means this world is created for the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm sure we hear this a lot of times. And when we hear this, we have been hearing it so many times that now we pay no heed to what it really means, that this world has been created for ibadah and we have been created for ibadah. We need to realize that ibadah is not being performed only because so that we get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is not just a way of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Instead, ibadah is the need of this world. This world, everything in this world needs the ibadah to be established in this world in order for this universe to exist. So ibadah is not just to get closer to Allah or earn extra reward. That is the need of this world. If this world will not have the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it would not exist anymore. The thing that is holding this world intact, in place, is the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As soon as ibadah will go away from this world is going to collapse. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْشَقَّتْ. We read all of these surahs in the last verse of Quran al-Kareem. What all of these surahs and ayahs are telling us? What will happen to this world? When all of this is going to happen? As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, which is in Muslim and Muslim Ahmad, لا تقوم الساعة حتى يقال في الأرض الله الله. As long as there are people to say Allah, Allah, it means remember Allah, and do the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the patient day of the other will not come. Which simply means, just like we have a soul within us, it's holding the body intact and keeping it alive. If that ruach, that soul will depart the body, this body is going to clash. Our eyes, our ears, our tongue, our feet, everything, the whole system is going to fail. All of these will be useless. And people will put us under the ground. Because if you look at the physical body, it's still intact, it's still in place, but the ruach has gone. Now the body has lost its power. It has lost the benefit. Therefore, there is no purpose of keeping this body out here anymore. Just bury it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us the same way, the thing that is holding this world intact, that the thing because of which the sun and the moon are running so smoothly with their, in their proper order, it's because and it's through the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When this ibadah will go away, when there will be no iman in the world, when Quran will not be recited anymore, when deen will not be practiced upon anymore, when the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be forgotten, that will be the time when everything is going to collapse. And that is the time of Qiyamah. لا تقوم الساعة حتى يقال في الأرض الله الله. So this is the ibadah, this is the power of the ibadah. This is why when the ibadah comes into the life, this life becomes very peaceful. The more the ibadah comes into the life, the more peaceful ibadah it is. Because just imagine when a ruh is departing from the body, how disturbed that person would be at that time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pictures that scene in Quran. وَالْنَفَّ بِالسَّاقُ بِالسَّاقُ. He's hitting his legs against each other. Why? The ruh is departing the body. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in hadith, the pain of this ruh departing the body is such that if a person at that time would have a sword in his hand, he would get up and start killing everyone around him. But has no strength, has no power. This is because the ruh is departing the body, is leaving the body. Same way, when ibadah comes out of his body, when ibadah comes out of his life, the life becomes disturbed life. Then this person tries to bring the peace of mind into his life through a lot of different means. And we keep on running back and forth, knocking at every door in the world, going to the stores, going to people, going to places of entertainment, people drinking alcohol, all of that only for one purpose, to have some peace of mind. There are so many people, they wait for the weekend to come, so that they can just drink, 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 and then they get lost. All this person wants is, he would like to forget about all his problems. And the way he's going to forget his problems is by drinking a lot and then become unconscious. He doesn't want to know what's happening around him in the world. But after some time, some hours, maximum a day, the person is going to get up again. And again he finds himself trapped in all of these problems and marching. The world is looking for an answer to this question. Where to buy that peace of mind from? Would the store sell that peace of mind? People are trying to look for it in comfortable mattresses, in expensive cars, in beautiful homes, expensive furniture, and everywhere else. We know it. Go out of here and you will see so many stores. Beauty supplies and this supply and everything that keeps on working on people's bodies, and people are just trying to make more and more and more money out of you with the concept that you would, if you do this, you would be better. You will have a little better life. But nothing is going to give us a better life. The only thing that gives us the better life is our rule, the rule of this world. And that is the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more believing this is, this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us so simply, so easily, divine product and to get justice to what I have Quran, Allah bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innul qulub. Remember, the peace of mind is in the remembrance of Allah. How many millions of dollars we spend? Yes, it's a fact, not just thousands. People are spending millions of dollars to get some peace of mind. But they can't find it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, come, I'm giving it to you for free. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. When the ibadah comes into the life, and the more the ibadah will come into the life, the more peace of mind will come into the life. Yes, the effect of the dunya will still be there. A person, it doesn't mean this person will never get sick anymore. But believe me, sickness is not the thing that will take away the peace of mind. Poverty is not the thing that will take away the peace of mind. And opposite of that, good health is not the thing that will bring the peace of mind. Love is not the thing that will bring the peace of mind. No, we are looking for this product at the wrong place. The peace of mind is only in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm not just repeating something that we have been hearing it from lectures, you know, I just come and say there's a fear. It's something that is a practical fact. It's a fact that is well known and established fact in the world that those people who offer their time, their energy, and whatever abilities Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them for the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they had the best life. Just imagine, if today, God forbid, one of our children goes out and parents can't find the son anymore, what will happen to us? How parents are going to panic? How they would be crying? What kind of hardship they would be going through? And now read the ayat of the Quran al-Kareem. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Sayyidina Ya'qub alayhi salatu wa salam lost two of his sons. He lost Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam. Almost 40 years later, he loses the other son also. And now, he says to his son, Ya baniya dhabu fatahassasu min Yusuf awafi. Look at what Quran says. Ya'qub alayhi salam, who lost the second son now. Normally, when another similar type of hardship would come into a person's life, that's it. He would have a heart attack. The person would lose every hope. There is no way for me anymore. That's it. And when I ask him now, we hear people having objections about why Allah is doing this to me? Why is this happening to me? And all kind of useless objections. Ya'qub alayhi salam, when he lost his second son, for some reason we see that he's having greater hope. Ya bani yadhhabu fatahassasu min Yusuf wa akhihi. All my children, go and look for Yusuf and his brother. Wa la tayasu min rawhillah. Never lose hope in the rahmah of Allah. It should be that children would be telling him that la tayasu min rawhillah. People are telling him to go in, oh, you lost your other son, la tayasu min rawhillah. Don't give up your hope in the rahmah of Allah. But no, he is telling his children, wa la tayasu min rawhillah. Because إِنَّهُ لَا هَيْئَةُ مِنْ رَوْحِ النَّاجِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Only those who do not believe in Allah can lose their hope in the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For a believer, he can never lose his hope in the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as long as the person is having that connection with Rabbul Alameen subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no way that this person will become hopeless in this world. There is no way that this person will think that I have no one to help me anymore. I'm a dead end. Now I better just kill myself with the hand of Allah. There's a lot of people doing it. I don't know what to do now anymore. So after this, all the person can think of, that I need to get rid of this life. But if we have true trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no way a person can lose his hope in the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as long as that hope in the rahmah of Allah is there, subhanAllah, then this person is always, having that peace of mind that alhamdulillah, Allah is with me. Regardless of what situation I'm going through, Allah is with me. We see, on contrary, in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us another example. Very amazing example. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, when he invited his people to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they kept on rejecting and rejecting, and finally, as we read in the ayahs of the Quran, without going into the details of them, that he brought the idol. When these people came back from their celebration, and they went to the house of worship where they had all the idols, and they see all the idols are broken down, see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about those people in Quran. قَالُوا مَنْ فَعَلَ هَذَا بِآلِهَتِنَا إِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Who did this to our Lord? Who brought the head of my Lord? Who killed my Lord? Who brought the arms of my Lord? Who brought the legs of my Lord? Imagine the situation of a nation who feels Lord is doing everything for us, but there was someone who was more powerful than the Lord, and he came and destroyed the Lord. Where is this person going to go now? At the end, even a captain says, oh my Lord. But this person doesn't have a Lord anymore. Someone came and killed his Lord. Where is he going to, with this person is going to go now? See how a captain is hopeless. Because he doesn't have a connection with his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْتَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. This is what Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says in a hadith. عَيْرًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. The situation of a mu'min is very amazing. إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ وَلَيْسَ ذَٰلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. All the situations are good for him. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, the situation of a mu'min is very amazing. All the situations of a mu'min are good for him. And then he continues to say, وَلَكِفَ ذَٰلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِمُؤْمِنٍ. No one has this blessing except for a mu'min. Those who have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that every situation is good for them. They don't have a situation that can arise in their life where they can feel that everything is bad for me now. Every situation is good for a mu'min. إِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ السَّرَّاءُ شَكَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. If a mu'min has a good time, he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. And this is good, he's getting the reward of sabr, of shukr. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّاءُ. And if he goes through hardship, sabr, فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. He has sabr, patience, and that's good for him too. He's getting reward for sabr. In some of the books of history, it has been related, I just remembered that we talked about sabr and shukr. Imam Anish, rahimahullah, they said that he was a very handsome, very good-looking person. Great scholar, but when it came to the mosque, he wasn't to that category and that level. So one day his wife says to him, you know, inshallah, me and you both, we are really going to Jannah. So he says, how can you say that? He says, you know, you have a beautiful, pretty woman like me, your wife, and you do shukr, you will go to Jannah. And I have another person like you, and I have fubar, and I go to Jannah too. We both are going to Jannah. You are going through shukr, and I'm going through fubar. But it's a fact of our lives that fubar and shukr. Just think about any situation that arises in your life. It will be either a situation of fubar, or it will be a situation of shukr. There is nothing out of it. It's something that you feel is good, and you do shukr. Something that you feel is not good for me, I'm losing something, and you have fubar, and you're getting reward for it. And the reward for fubar is great. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Seek Allah's help through fubar and salah. There is so much virtue of follow through Quran and Hadith that sometimes, really after reading those virtues, it feels like you would like to be in a situation of sabr more than the situation of shukr, but we should never ask for that. We should never ask for it. But the fact is, there is so much reward for it that a person, if a person gets into that type of situation, sometimes really in the time of when in reality the situation of sabr, and then you start looking at the hadith that are about sabr, it looks like you want to do shukr for that situation too. That you're getting so much reward for it. So there isn't any situation where a mu'min would think, this is totally bad for me. It's just a story, but maybe it's beneficial to understand the point that a king who had a helper, this helper had a habit that whenever anything happens, he says, MashaAllah, this is good. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so therefore this is good. He had that situation, and he had that habit. Anything, good or bad, anything happens, he says, Alhamdulillah, MashaAllah, this is from Allah, and whatever is from Allah is good. And of course, this is part of our Imam al-Qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi, min Allah. Our faith, good and bad, everything from Allah. So this is what he used to say. One day, the king cut his finger by mistake. So he says, MashaAllah, this is good, this is from Allah. Right away he's fired. He loses his job. You're saying that this is good, that I cut my finger? Of course, the king wants to do something and the maximum he can do is fire him. So he fired him. When he says that you are fired, he says, MashaAllah, this is good, this is from Allah. The king is even more upset now, but he can't do anything. He fired him, that's it, go home. The person goes home. The king, after a few days, he goes out for hunting. And he loses his way. Some robbers, they come and they get the king. And they tell him that, look, this is our territory. And we have a rule over here, that whoever comes into our territory, we never let that person go back alive. And he keeps on requesting that, you know, I'm the king, I'm there, please just let him go. Oh, you're the king. This is a better land for sacrifice. And we like to sacrifice better people. So here now we feel even honored that you will be killing the king. He tried his best, nothing worked. Finally, they're about to kill him to see that his finger is cut. What happened to your finger? He said, I cut him by mistake. Oh, no. Go back home. We don't kill people who have any defect on their body, just like the lamb for thief and for sacrifice. A person with any defect on his body, we don't kill him. We don't sacrifice those people. Okay, you go back home. So he goes back home and he's so happy, he calls that helper who said, this is good. He calls him. He says, come. He went there. He says, you know, when I cut my finger, you said this was good, this is from Allah. And really, this is what happened. That I went over there and he tells him the whole story. So that helper says, it wasn't only good for you, it was good for me too. Because had I been with you and you didn't fire me at that time, then I would have been with you and they would kill me. So both of it was good, and both of it was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're cutting your finger and then you're firing me. Both was good. And this is a reality. Of course, it's the story, but it's a reality. That a lot of time when we look at things, it seems that this is not good. But everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of it. So I have the amr al-mu'min. The situation of every mu'min is very amazing. That every situation is good for a mu'min. وَلَيْسَ ذَٰلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. What is it that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us in this hadith? Very simply, there isn't any situation where a person would just lose hope and say that I'm nothing now, I can't do nothing with my life, and I'm at a dead end. No, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us, whatever situation you may be in, it's good for you. And use the opportunity of the situation. Instead of the situation of shukr, use the opportunity of shukr and get closer to Allah. You get raised. It's not only that come back and start extending gifts with your family. No, do the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved you from some hardships and difficulties. Do the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, we spend days after days with happiness. Alhamdulillah, days are going with good health, and we are doing everything properly as we are supposed to do. Our families are, alhamdulillah, doing good, and everyone, our children are doing good. It's just the opportunity of shukr. We are losing all of these opportunities for nothing. The whole life is nothing but opportunity. Everything in this life is opportunity. And just imagine, on daily basis, how many thousands and maybe even millions of opportunities that we are missing on and losing on daily basis. Where we mention the sabr or we let the shukr. A hardship comes. Okay, what can I do? Just like with one of my teachers, Mr. Mahmoud rahmatullahi alayhi, a person asked him to send a letter to him telling him that, you know, I went through a lot of difficulties and this and this, and I tried this and I tried this and I tried this, but nothing worked. So again, I decided I will have sabr. He said, if this is what sabr means, you tried everything and now you couldn't do anything to yourself having sabr. What other choice do you have now? Sabr means, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is passing by a woman that is sitting by a grave, and she was crying there, and she is just uttering words about her husband who died, and admiring him and all of this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised her not to do this. She didn't recognize Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, "Kila ishaani, fa'ina karam tu qabdi musibati." Leave me alone. You haven't gone through the situation that I have gone through. Later on, someone told her, that was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh, was that the Prophet of Allah? She ran to his home. She said, "Ya Rasulullah, I'm sorry. I didn't recognize this." He said, "Innama sabr inda sadmatil ula." Sabr is at the time of the hardship. When the hardship comes, afflicts you, that's the time of sabr. It's not that you do everything and then the second after 30, you say, "Okay, I'm going to have sabr now." So on daily basis, we have so many situations of sabr and shukr, so many opportunities. In other words, we can, as I said, very simply we can say, the whole life is nothing but opportunity. Every situation of our life is opportunity. God forbid if a person gets sick, it's an opportunity. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited the Sahaba, who is sick, and he says to him, "La ba'tahurun inshaAllah. Don't worry, this is cleaning you from sins inshaAllah." So even the disease is cleaning the person from sin. So that's another opportunity where the person is having sabr and getting clean from all of the sins. A person is in hardship and difficulty. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says the hadith of Qudsi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Ana inda al-muntasirati qulubuhum." I am with those who have broken hearts. They are going through some hardship, some difficulty. Tears are in their eyes. I am with them. Imagine when the person is shedding tears. And at that time, normally we can't cry before Allah. Then she uses the opportunity. She uses the opportunity, raises their hand, and they cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rather than just being sitting and crying for nothing. The whole life is nothing but opportunity. If we really connect ourselves to the deen, this whole life will become opportunity of connecting ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and establishing a stronger relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our relationship, our connection with our deen, with our Islam, with Rabbul Alameen subhanahu wa ta'ala can get extremely strong. Imagine how strong it would be that every day we have been losing thousands of opportunities. Just imagine if we use these opportunities. Aren't we thousands of steps ahead of where we are today? Everything, every situation, every breath is a breath of shukr. Imagine at the end of the day, before you go to bed, and you sit on your bed and you say, "Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, I thank you for every breath that you allowed me to take in my life." How much shukr you have done? For how many things? Imagine the reward of shukr. "Ya Allah, I thank you for every breath. Ya Allah, I thank you for every penny that I have earned in halal. Ya Allah, I thank you for every opportunity you gave me to help anyone in my life." Just imagine the amount of reward the person has the opportunity of earning just with these small things. And as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in the hadith, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this deen very simple and easy. Sometimes, many of our brothers and sisters, they miss a mentioned the 10 ayahs, or mentioned since the 30 ayahs and a hadith about deen being easy. Deen being easy means really a person came to you. And this is in my community. He says, brother, I wake up at 10 o'clock because I can't wake up for salat al fajr. It's so difficult. And what is my God adding to deen and haraj? Deen is not made difficult. Deen is made easy. So if a person can wake up for fajr, mashallah, but if we cannot, then I wake up 10 o'clock and do my fajr. This is the meaning for deen being easy. But of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't mean that. Deen is already easy. We don't have to make it easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the way the deen is designed is already easy. We don't have to make it easier than what it is because it's already easy. This is what the message is. So, deen easy means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mainly earning the reward, getting the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so simple and so easy in this deen that if a person will look at these opportunities, would never like to lose these opportunities in his life. This is the greatest loss of our life when we are missing these opportunities of the life. First, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, يصبح على كل سلامة أحدكم صدقة. Every morning when we wake up, we have to say صدقة on behalf of each and every joint of our body. And the hadith says there are 360 joints in every person's body. So 360 صدقة minimum every person has to pay every day. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فكل تسبيحة صدقة. You say سبحان الله is a صدقة. You say الحمد لله is a صدقة. وكل تكبيرة صدقة. You say الله أكبر is a صدقة. أمرك بالمعروف لك صدقة. You enjoy good is صدقة. نهيك عن المنكر لك صدقة. You purposely work is a صدقة. إرشادك الطريق إرشادك الطريق لأرض الضلال لك صدقة. You guide a person, you tell someone the direction to somewhere he has to go to. It's a صدقة. A person is broke. You tell him, brother, where is the bathroom? And you tell him, just go right and then take another right. Sadaqah. You got the reward for it. It's not just you told someone the direction. And this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, for mu'min, everything is reward. It's only when a person is doing it with the intention of having that connection with Rabbul Alameen subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm doing it for the sake of Allah. Not so that, see, that this person would consider me to be a good person. Just that intention, quick intention, everything is for the sake of Allah. Whatever I do it for the sake of Allah. Even the person's meal, everything that we eat, becomes sadaqah for us. To that extent, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, حَتَّى اللُّقْمَةَ صَبَعُهَا فِي إِيْهِ مْرَاتِكَ. You take some food and put it in the mouth of your wife, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, this is sadaqah. Having a relationship with wife, sadaqah. Sahaba Rizwanullahi alayhi wa sallam was surprised. Ya Rasulullah, to this extent, we are not doing it for any other reason. We are doing it because this is our nature. We want to do it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you would do these things in haram, wouldn't you get sin for it? Said, you are protecting yourself from haram. The intention is, I'm having this in halal so that I protect myself from haram. All of this is sadaqah. Imagine the amount of sadaqah, amount of reward, amount of these opportunities in our life. What is it that we do in our life and it's not an opportunity? At the end of the day, just sit for a minute and thank Allah for the blessing of the eyes. That Ya Allah, everything has seen with my eyes. I thank you for that. How many sadaqah do you have got? How much reward a person has got? Really, there is no limit. There is no limit. It's only because of not paying any teachers, and because of not paying any attention to it, we are losing all of these opportunities. Greatest loss in our life. This is the greatest loss in our life. That thing where we don't have to do anything extra, we already have been doing these things. We have been buying food for our family. We spend a lot of money, alhamdulillah, on our family. We either pay the rent, we pay the bills, we buy a lot of things for our family. All of it just makes intention for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every penny that you spend on your family, on yourself, is a sadaqah, is rewarding. Not only when we spend on ours, even everything that we spend on our family. In fact, according to some of the hadith, this is considered to be the higher level of sadaqah than a sadaqah given in the other direction. When a person is spending on his family, just imagine
how much reward we are losing on daily basis. Just because of not having this connection with our Lord. This is the difference between a mu'min and a kafir. A kafir is doing it for his dunya. A mu'min does it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, the whole life is ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing out of ibadah. Nothing in the mu'min's life that we think that there is no reward for it at all. Even things that are just allowed, or we do it just to fulfill our nature call, the call of the nature, or fulfill our desires, those things become rewarding for us if we use the opportunity. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through his ahadith, he taught us that always use the opportunity of this life. And everything that you have in this life is an opportunity. To the extent, sometimes, our situation is really totally different than the situation of Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi wa sallam. When Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi wa sallam heard it, of course, they had their lives, they had their bodies, they had their time, but when it came to physical earnings, worldly earnings, they really mean, some of them, they didn't have nothing to spare. The Sahabi, all he has is the sheep that he's storing his body with, and that's only one sheep. He's trying to tie it on his neck, and then he's trying to just keep on bending so that his other won't open up. And they're hiding behind each other. And this Sahabi, an angel, is holding a dick in his hand. That all he has, one dick. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is standing on the member. Ittaqun naar walau bishatti tamra. Protect yourself against the hellfire, even if by spending half a day, if you have one day, okay, eat half and get the other half of the sabah. Use that opportunity. You have a day in your hand, don't you? Get half of the sabah. Now just imagine how many opportunities we have when it comes to how many blessings of Allah we have, alhamdulillah. It's a blessing, alhamdulillah. We go back home and we look at our closet, they are full. There is no room to put anything more anymore. If you buy a new step, you have to take some of the old step out. No room to put anything more. Use the opportunity of having all of this as a method of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shukr for whatever you have. Sadaqah for whatever we have. And I would also say this, in all these people made, the scholars used to call because they were, mashallah, great people. Even the scholars are great and other people, everyone is great. So they used to say, you know, give sadaqah from whatever you have. So whatever, go back home, if you have 5 pairs, give 2 pairs out of the sadaqah. It's difficult to say these nowadays. Because I know I don't read myself. So what's the other choice? It's still, the doors are never closed for it. What's the other choice? Open the closet. You have 10 extra pairs. Okay, say to yourself, okay, if I have 10 extra pairs, let me have 10 extra rak'ah also. Use the opportunity. Okay, you have extra of dinner, let me have some extra of deen also. Use everything as an opportunity, as a way of getting as close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khubayb radiallahu anhu is a Sahabi who was captured by the Kuffar of Quraysh and they took him out to kill him. I'm sure many of us have read the hadith. When they took him out to kill him, that's it. This is the end of a person's life. What can he do anymore? Do we seek any opportunities for this man anymore? No. That's it. The kuffar is in the hand of the kuffar. He knows after a few minutes he will be killed and he will be out of this world. What would be going through this person's mind at that time? Now, Khubayb requested the kuffar of Quraysh. He said, just give me the opportunity to do 2 rak'ah salah. Please, just give me a few minutes so I can do 2 rak'ah salah. They said, okay, go ahead, do the 2 rak'ah salah. And he performed 2 quick rak'ahs, and then now he's ready for them to do whatever they want to do with him. Khubayb radiallahu anhu died. The hadith says, فَكَانَ أَوَّلَ مَنْ سَنَّ الصَّلَاةِ. He was the first person who established this method, this sunnah of doing some salah before dying. So now any person who would follow that a person knows he would be dying or anything, and he performs 2 quick rak'ah of salah, Khubayb radiallahu anhu is getting the reward for it. He used the opportunity. The opportunity of only 2 rak'ahs, he
And you're saying, what these shurakas are going to do for me now? He used it till the day of Qiyamah. Anyone who follows his steps, will, Khubayr radiallahu anhu, is getting the reward from that. Without this person's reward getting reduced or anything. But opportunities, life is all opportunities. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting with the group of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And this is after a battle, after a war was over. And a woman has lost her son. She's going around looking for her son. All of a sudden, she found her son, she grabs his son, and quickly she hugs his son, she's kissing her son. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he takes the opportunity. He uses the opportunity. That opportunity for this type of lesson. He says to Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu, أَتَرَوْنَ هَذِهِ مُلْقِيَةً إِبْنَهَا فِي النَّارِ. Do you think this woman is going to throw her son in the fire? Would she ever do that? They said, no, Ya Rasulullah. We don't think she would ever do anything like this. See how much she loves her son. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves human beings more than she loves her son. Look at the opportunity. When he is taking the opportunity of teaching now, that this is the best time to teach this lesson. Because normally you can keep on telling people, would anyone burn his child? No, Ya Rasulullah, okay, even Allah doesn't like to burn human beings. But nevertheless, you see a situation in front of your eyes. When there is a fire there, a woman is grabbing her child, she's kissing her child after she has lost him, she's hugging her child. Now, do you think she would throw her son in the fire? No, Ya Rasulullah, never. The way, look at her, look how she loves her son. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah loves you more than what she loves her son. Practical lesson there. Using the opportunities of the life. And if you look at the ahadith, you see that there isn't any opportunity that came in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life and he did not use it. Those were the best lessons of his life, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is using all of these opportunities. At a time of hardship, you see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam right away. You read the hadith, what do the hadith say? And when there was a time of difficulty or hardship, or people thought that there may be some difficulty, where they would find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? See? They would find him in the masjid. Praying, making dua and doing salah. Why? It's an opportunity. Time of hardship, dua would be accepted. Right away, let me accept my dua. He does not lose any of these opportunities. In the book of Asma'ul Rijal, the narrators of the Ahadith, we have a great scholar of Islam whose name was Sheikh Ahmed ibn Sabah, rahmatullahi alayh. Sheikh Ahmed ibn Sabah, rahmatullahi alayh, was from Iraq originally. Now, let me just, after mentioning this name and you remember this name, I would like to change the topic and go to something else here. It says during those days, there was a boy traveling with his parents and it so happened that his parents died on the way. They had an accident or something and they both died, father and mother. This young man, he's lost. He's out on the street. Initially, he's just begging people to make up to keep up with his life and to just make his living, and gradually he becomes a rover. And after some time, when he was at the age of 15, he became the well-known rover in Baghdad. Everyone is afraid of him. And the king set a big prize for those who would bring this, who would capture this young man and bring him. But people are afraid. He has his own group and he is considered to be extremely strong and powerful. No one would dare to confront him. Finally, one day they captured him. They put him in the prison. After some time, they let him go. Okay, looking at his background and everything, this is the first time we captured you, but make sure that you don't go back to these things, he goes out. They capture him again. They cut his hands. Let him go. As soon as he goes out, again he's doing the same thing. They put him in prison now for 15 years. After after 15 years, he comes out.
The stone mentality did not change. Way of life did not change. The first thing he did was, he goes out of the prison after 15 years, and he sees the door that was open, enters the door. Looks around, no one is there to see him. He starts picking up as much as he could. He only has one hand now. All of a sudden, an old man approaches him. What are you doing, sir? Now the robber realized that he is caught. So he kicks the old man, and quickly he grabs whatever he could, and he's about to run out when the old man says, just a minute. You don't have to run out. I'm here to help you. I'm not here to take anything from you. There are a few more things from here you can pick up also. These things you can take with you too. And the old man helps this man to carry whatever he had to carry because he had the only one hand he couldn't carry. So the old man loads it on his shoulder and he says, young man, now you can just go out. The young man picks everything up and he goes out. Something is disturbing him now. Who was this old man? The owner? But the owner wouldn't do something like this. Was he a robber like him? Then he did it. Why did he give me all of that? Why didn't he take it himself? And these things are tickling him. He's thinking about it. Next thing comes, knocks at the door of the next door neighbor. When the person opened the door, he asked him, who is this man next door? There is an old man that lives here next door. Who is this man? That person says, this man, this person who lives next door, yes. Oh, don't you know this person? His name is Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah. Right away, this person goes to the same door again, knocks at the door. The same old man opened the door. Sheikh, I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry for whatever I did yesterday. He says, Alhamdulillah, if you're sorry for it, come sit. Let's talk about it. And now this young man was the same person that I just mentioned, a great scholar in the books of the Asma'ul Rijal, Sheikh Ahmad ibn Sabah. He turned that great scholar of Islam after spending some days with Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullahi Alayhi. That turned his life. Junaid Rahmatullahi Alayhi used the opportunity, son, your son, come on, let's sit and talk about it. Just using that opportunity for a few minutes changed the life of this man. Life is nothing but opportunity. Everything in our life is a great opportunity. It's an opportunity can open a lot of doors of opportunities, and every opportunity will open hundreds of doors of opportunities for us for the future. It's just getting into the habit of using these opportunities. When you are upset, use that opportunity too. When you are happy, use this opportunity. Good time, use the opportunity. Not at the time according to our understanding, use the opportunity. Losing something, use the opportunity. Gaining something, use the opportunity. Every situation of a moment's life is nothing but opportunity. Use these opportunities. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. And when this opportunity comes and you feel you want to make a good use of it, just do yourself a favor. Never think, I will start tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. Now is the time. Don't wait for tomorrow, because as soon as you walk out of this place, right away we are losing all of those opportunities. It's just as if we are locking the doors of the opportunities in our soul. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened anyone's heart at this time, thinking about how to use the opportunities of the life, what I must do from now on, then that right now and make a plan in your mind before you leave, make intention, make plans, and then go back and start practicing upon that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors of opportunities for us. Give us tawfiq to use these opportunities of the life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس. Make use of five things, five blessings, before they are taken away and replaced with five other things. شبابك قبل حرمك. Make a good use of your youth before you get old. This time will never come again in your life. Every day that is passing by will never come back. Every day is a new day. The days that go away, they are never coming back to our lives. Use today's opportunity. Don't wait for tomorrow. Use your youth. Use this age. Use this strength. And you will see, as salat and isha will come, how many people are sitting on the chair and doing the salat. Every masjid, mashallah, we have a lot of chairs nowadays. Walls of the masjid are full. People are leaning against walls. What is all of this? Ask them. This is a poor man. who really feels, he looks at you and he feels, I wish I had the opportunity of doing to do the way he does it to you. I cannot do it. I cannot put my forehead on the ground anymore. Those days are gone of my life. Opportunities of the life. Shababuka qabla harami. Use your youth before you get old. Wasihatuka qabla sawmi. Use your health before you get sick, and then you won't be able to do what you are able to do while you are healthy. Go and see the people in the hospital. See the tears in their eyes. See how their hearts are broken apart. They wish if they can another day of their life in the same house as you are in now. And this person would use that opportunity, but it's gone. And when are we going to lose it? No one knows. May Allah protect them. Protect our health and give us good health and good health. But when a person is going to lose it, no one knows. Those who lost it, they never knew that they would lose it on that day. But it's gone, all of them. Sahatat qabla taqmat. Use the opportunity of your health before you get sick. Waghinaaka qabla faqrik. Use the opportunity of your wealth before you lose your wealth. Lose the wealth. Use this wealth. And use it as an opportunity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the name of Allah. Use it as an opportunity to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the day will come, God forbid, there are so many people, very wealthy, all of a sudden situations change. And the person is just out. He doesn't have anything. In some situations we have seen people. Man, this is within our life. Man, I'm sure we know some people, very wealthy, and all of a sudden now they are begging people. Or, even if that doesn't happen, as soon as the person dies, all the wealth is gone. Everything is gone. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, غِنَاكَ قَبْلَ فَقْرِ. Did I mention three things now? The fourth thing. What was the first thing? وَفْرَاغُكَ قَبْلَ شَغْلِكَ. Make use of your free time before you get busier. We all say we are very busy. If we are really truthful with our soul, make a schedule of your daily things that you do. Things that you do on a daily basis. Make a schedule of it. And see that is it true that you cannot even make 5 minutes for salah? You cannot make even 5 minutes for salah. Is it true that out of 7 hours that we need, we cannot reduce 15 minutes of that time to do some dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and perform dua to Allah before we go to bed? Faragh of the shoulder, make use of your free time before you get busier. Because on a daily basis we realize every day it seems that now we are getting more and more busy. We are waiting for the day when we will be free. A brother came to me. He said, brother, just tell me which day you will be free so that I need to come and sit with you for a day. I said, then make a will that you get buried next to me. We both will be free over there. But in this whole life, every day is making us more busy than we were the day before. So make good use of your free time at this time before even this time is gone away. And وَحَيَاتُكَ قَبْلَ مَوْتِكَ. Make good use of your life before you die. This is the opportunity, regardless of your situation there. It may be that a person is poor, sick, old, whatever. At least you have a life. When this life is gone, as the people that are in the dream, they hope if they can get 1 second, just 1 second to come back, and they can just say, La ilaha illallah. But the opportunity is gone. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Some people at the deal. At the time of death, they'll be saying to Allah, رَبِّ الْعُونِ لَعَيْنِي عَمَلُ صَالِحًا فِيمَا تَرَكْتُ. Ya Allah, please give me opportunity to go back. This is in Quran. رَبِّ الْعُونِ. Ya Allah, take me back. لَعَيْنِي عَمَلُ صَالِحًا فِيمَا تَرَكْتُ. So I can do some good deeds with things that I have left behind. Allah says, كَذَّا. No, this is not happening. You had the opportunity. أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرُ. Did not we give you enough age? That if you really wanted to understand, you could have understood during that age. وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ. And you got the reminder also. But you did not use those reminders, did not use that opportunity. May Allah give us tawfiq to use these opportunities of the life.
and every opportunity of the ni'mah, of the blessing, or whatever opportunities we have in our life, may Allah give us tawfiq to have a good use of it, and make it a way of getting closer to Rabbul Alameen subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our gathering, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our iman, our amal, and give us tawfiq for more and more. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.